Today is the Feast of All Saints. And before we read the epistle to you from the Apocalypse, we just want to say a word or two, because it's good to know what is being said here by St. John and the Holy Ghost. There is a message. First of all, the first tribe that he mentions, St. John, is the tribe of Judah. That's not the first tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. He mentions Judah first, we believe, because that's the tribe of our Lord and Savior. Just a bow to our Lord and Savior when he wrote this down from the Holy Ghost. Some of the tribes are not mentioned at all, even though there are 12 names. Two of the tribes mentioned are half-tribes. They're not the 12, part of the 12. And the tribe of Dan is not mentioned. We believe that is because it has been thought that the Antichrist would come from the tribe of Dan. And we mention this to you because the purpose of this, we believe, of mentioning these tribes is, first of all, to express God's love and mercy for his chosen people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, that he will love them always, and he is always, even at this very moment, he is calling them. That's the first thing. Second thing is, because they are not exactly the 12 tribes, we believe that this is a further statement that all men are called to heaven. Every person who has ever lived on this earth has received the call, has received the grace of God, calling him or her to him. And this is mentioned on this day because of this. All men, every person who will ever live on this earth, is called to be a saint. On All Saints' Day, we read this to you. It shows you God's mercy. This epistle for today is from the book of the Apocalypse. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels who had it in their power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed, out of every tribe of the children of Israel, of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed, of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000, of the tribe of Gad, 12,000, of the tribe of Aser, 12,000, of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000, of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000, of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000, of the tribe of Levi, 12,000, of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000, of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 sealed. After this, I saw a great multitude which no man could number, out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing round about the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen." Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. At that time, Jesus, seeing the crowds, went up the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth. Opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men reproach you and persecute you, and speaking falsely say all manner of evil against you, for my sake. Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The origins of today's feast go back to the very beginning of time. Because, as you may recall, we believe that the very first thing that God created in all the universe was the angels. And they are part of this feast. And then, many years later, the redemption took place, and that this feast received a big shot in the arm at that time because the Son of God became a man. And when he became a man, he became the model for all of the saints. We, all of us, must be formed in the image of the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary. And then the feast really took place in a big way when our Lord and Savior ascended into heaven. And he took not only all of the saints from the Old Testament, all of those who were saved, took them with him, but he also took the saints from the New Testament, like, for instance, St. Joseph, St. John the Baptist, the Holy Innocents, to name a few. So, at the same time that these events were taking place, the redemption, all of the events of the redemption, something else was occurring at almost exactly the same time, and that was the erection of this great temple, the Pantheon. It was begun a few years before the birth of Christ, and it was finished. We don't know exactly what happened to it, but anyway, it was perfected in the beginning of the second century, so not long after St. John died. We have this magnificent, one of the most beautiful churches, and certainly the most unique church in all of the world. And then, in the year 609, Pope Boniface IV, this is just after the death of St. Gregory the Great, Pope Boniface performed this magnificent and moving ceremony of calling forth from the catacombs many of the bones of the martyrs. He called them forth, and they were brought forth from the catacombs. So many saints, their bones. And they, in this ceremony, they put them on these beautiful chariots and carried them over to this temple, and then it was dedicated to Our Lady, Queen of the Martyrs. So that is the origin of this day. It's one of the most beautiful feasts of the whole year. One of our favorites. Because we feel, and we believe it is meant that we all feel, that we are before the throne of God today. We are with the saints. All of their great, beautiful, and holy lives are recalled on this day. So many of them. And we should, this all takes place for you and me because we are meant to become like them. We're meant to imitate them. We think, where would we be without them? Because they help us by their prayers and example. We have no idea how much they do for us. St. Augustine said that we, the saints, want us to imitate them. And when we do imitate the saints, they love us and they pray for us. If St. Augustine says, yes, they are praying for us, but when we imitate them, it calls their attention to us and we obtain so many graces, he says, by doing this. And especially, and the other saints, many of the other saints say this, this is especially true of our Blessed Mother. That when we act towards her and love her as our mother, that she especially, when we do this, she loves us as her children and she treats us as her own children more than others. Those of us who try to imitate her. And that's what this day is all about. First of all, it's to honor God through his saints, to thank him for them and for everything that he gives us through them. We have no idea how many graces come to us through the saints, through our prayers to them, because of their great love for us. We are also, on this day, this feast is all about thanking God through the saints and imitating them, and reparation for neglecting them throughout the years, all of past year, because we don't go to them nearly or imitate them nearly as much as we are bound to. That's just the saints who are in the liturgical year, but also today is set aside for the rest of the saints in heaven. All of the little saints, all of the great saints that don't have their name on the calendar. This is for everyone in heaven, even the minor saints, the little saints. And so today we especially pray to them and make reparation. It's a day of hopefully great increase in love and devotion for all of us. Increase in holiness this day. Because of their example and also because of God's desire for us. How much our desire for heaven should increase on this day because of their example, because of their prayers for us. Creation, as our Father Superior mentioned on Sunday, creation is for the saints. Everything that God does, everything he permits, all the evil in the world, and everything that he wills, that he directly wills, everything is for the saints. That's us. It's for us. All of these things taking place in the world should move us to go to God in prayer. So God, through his divine providence, through all of the liturgy, through the sacraments, the redemption, all of the disasters in the world, everything that takes place through his divine providence, all for the making of saints. Keep in mind that one man, one soul, is worth more than all of the rest of creation put together, apart from the rest of men. One man is worth all of the universe, worth more than that. Imagine the value of a saint. Imagine how much God loves a saint. If he loves us as he does, enough to die on the cross for us. So these people are very special to God. And it is a testimony this day because of the variety of the saints, because, as undoubtedly you must be aware of, there are millions and millions of saints. We're not even counting the ones that are hidden. But there are this many saints at least because of all the martyrs. How many times have we heard that so many million people, this is true, were put to death for their faith? How many times has this happened? Even in recent times, millions of people put to death for their faith by God's enemies. It's not counting all of the saints in the lives of the saints. There are so many. This is all for God's glory. And especially, we would like to say that this is a day for God's glory by His grace that He has given to the sinners, the great sinners who have been converted through God's grace. This is, we think, especially their day as examples, because God made them from someone who was so, in a way, belonged in hell. Great sinners. They belonged in hell. And in many cases, at the last moment, like the good thief, at the last moment, God saved them. Or He saved them, even though they should have been in hell, and He made great saints and examples for us to follow. St. Augustine, St. Mary Magdalene, St. Paul. It's so inspiring. It's irresistible, this possibility, requirement. It's more than a possibility. It's a requirement that we follow them. The possibility and the requirement that we be saints. If someone is not imitating the saints in some way, they're lost. This is necessary. Everyone who goes to heaven is holy. He or she has imitated the saints in some way. But it's so inspiring that all of these millions of saints of every different walk of life have gone to heaven. How much that draws us in. More than anything in this world, it should. People who have a goal in life, who want to be such and such a professor, this kind of profession, a great man, a great woman at this or that. Most of the times, those things are impossible for one reason or another. We cannot do what we would love to do. We can't be what we want to be, because it's so difficult. So many things working against us in this world. But this is something that we all must do, and we can. We just need one thing. A desire. We have to desire to be like them. And it has to be a strong desire, something that's burning within us, much more than for whatever else we want in this world. And then, not only can we accomplish this, but we will, if we have a desire. This is what this day is all about, being drawn to imitate the saints. All the other dreams that we have should be faded away, with the idea in mind that we can become one of God's favorites in heaven, one of His special friends. They overcame all of their temptations because of the grace God poured into them. And many of the saints had great, much worse than you and I. Temptations. Much more difficult lives. We often like to tell you stories of the saints from the butler's lives or places like that. We told you about the new butlers calling into question so many of the saints. But if you want to read something that they cannot call into question and is miraculous, read the book of the Maccabees and the story of the Holy Maccabees. This is sacred scripture, brethren. It's phenomenal what these people endured, what these men, seven brothers, and their mother was there encouraging them. It's beyond belief what they endured for the sake of heaven, to become saints. We love the saints. We pray to so many saints every day, invoking them. We can't begin to tell you about all of them. But there is a feast today. In addition to All Saints' Day, there are many saints who have this as their feast, this day, November 1st. And the one of them we pray to every day, we invoke him. His name is Saint Harold. He was a great king and martyr for the faith. He was the king of Denmark and England and Norway. And we don't need to tell you all of the background to his story. But at this time, he was put to death in the year 980. And his brief story, the brief synopsis of his story is this, that his fellow countrymen, for the most part, were pagans. And he made an attempt to make his subjects Catholics. He was doing everything he could. And these pagans rose up against him, including his own son. And they went into battle, and he was killed. Of course, his people did eventually become Catholics, but from that moment, he was always revered as a martyr for his people, because he died trying to give them the faith. This is just one example. We should have the attitude, brethren, on this day of St. Augustine again, who read the lives of the saints like so many people have done. Like St. Ignatius, converted by the lives of the saints, converted his life, made a conversion of life. And St. Augustine said, after reading the lives of the saints and hearing about them, said, "Can not I do what these people have done?" We should all be St. Augustine's on this day. Can we not do what these people have done? Is that not possible? Rather, is this not necessary? We must do what they have done. We must be Christians, not in name only. We must be like Christ. How many times have you heard this from this pulpit, we must be made in his image. Not only in our faith, but in our love. We must love like Christ without any hope of reward in this life. How much our Lord and Savior has loved us. What do we owe him? This beautiful gospel on this day is one of the things that makes us feel that this day is special. We have always loved the saints. I was born during the Litany of the Saints when it was being sung. We have known this for some time, but the sisters gave on our priestly anniversary a beautiful image of the Litany of the Saints to hang on our wall. So we have always been very much attached to the saints. But one of the reasons is because of this gospel. This sermon that our Lord and Savior preached, so to speak, on this day, was the most beautiful sermon that has ever been given or ever will be given. Imagine that. The most beautiful words ever preached. They are written in heaven, these words. It's called, we have them up on the Beatitudes on our wall. It's called the Constitution of the Church. Every Christian, all the Christianity and the Christian life, our spiritual life, is all based on this sermon that Christ gave. It says he went up to the mountain. So it's coming from on high, from the Son of God. And he sits down as a God would sit, as a king, as a ruler of the universe. He sits, and it says he opened his mouth to tell all mankind that they should listen. God is opening his mouth. And he's telling us what, and he was not preaching only to those thousands that were in front of him. But this sermon is to you and me. He had this in mind. He was preaching to all men of all times. And the first words out of his mouth, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So what's the meaning of this? That the whole spiritual life is based on humility. It's the foundation of everything that we have. Without it, we cannot be saved. We have no virtue if we do not have humility. Everything goes from that. We know we are taking a long time, but there's this story that we just have to tell you. We believe in the saints, we believe in miracles, and we believe in this one. This man who was a bandit. This is back many years ago. Lived in the mountains near the Council of Trent, this town of Trent, And he is always on the road. He's a thief and a robber. And he runs into a religious. And the religious says to him, "You'd better try to save your soul, or you're going to be lost." And he says, "I've given up on that. I can't be..." We paraphrase. He says, I can't be saved. And the priest said, "Listen to me closely. You fast on Saturdays. And you promise God not to do anyone any harm. You promise our Blessed Mother. You fast in honor of our Blessed Mother on Saturdays. And you promise her. And you keep repeating your promise. You promise that you will not do anybody any harm in her honor." And he did. He promised that. And he kept repeating his promise. And that's what he would do. He would not take any weapons with him on Saturdays. And he fasted in her honor. And they caught him. He had no weapons. And he got up in front of the judge in the courtroom and told his story. And he had everyone in the... He told everybody all of his sins. And the judge said, You're a changed man. You go, you're free. And he said, "No. I want to die for my sins. Please, let me die for my sins." And they beheaded him. And they buried him nearby. And very soon after he was buried, our Blessed Mother came with four other virgins, and they took his body and they wrapped it in cloth of gold. And they set it next to the gate of the city. And Blessed Mother said to the guards, "You go tell the bishop that I want this man who belongs to me to be given Christian burial, Christian funeral in that church." And that's what they did. So, brethren, if this man can make such a conversion of life and become a saint, what can you and I do? What should we do? Especially on this day of All Saints. May God bless you.